orders you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Hopefully you had yourself a joyous and merryful weekend, and now you're ready for a new work week, and you're going to take us along for the ride. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we gear up for the start of the next 3 hours to hopefully inform and entertain you, fellas, what is going on?
What up, what up, what up?
What to do? What's going on?
Well, Barry, you're relaxed. You got nothing going on. You're not in a rush. Everything's good.
Yeah, you know, good thing I didn't show up at the very last second all frazzled and breathing heavy because my fat ass can't do two flights of stairs. So I'm good.
I walked in the studio and Charlie was in front of me. And then all of a sudden I hear Barry's voice.
Are you sure you didn't hear me breathing?
I had no idea he was behind me until I walked in the studio last minute.
Galleria, when there's a wreck,
disaster.
Game over.
Oh, and Nick, by the way, we are lucking out like nobody's business.
Why?
59 is going down by like two lanes. They're cutting two lanes out until 2020. But it's from Chimney Rock to the Spur. So we get off in time so we don't hit that. But Saturday morning, I was heading down to the gym. Normally, I'm regular time. And Saturday morning was the first day they did it. It was literally a 2 to 3 mile parking lot from 610 back.
Yeah,
that's going to suck. That's going to suck when I go to games, too.
Big time.
That is going to suck.
When does that start?
It's already started, and it ain't stopping.
I'm ready for this Galleria project to be over with. This has really hampered my ability to get here at a decent hour.
Okay. You mean the one that's been going on for like the past 27 years?
Man.
Well, and it's
this
always
Pongo
something, right?
Exit thing. Watch, it's going to be just some lame ass, like, it's just for the rich people, I guarantee you.
Because they are.
It's probably just an exit to get to some high rise around the gallery, a bunch of
Yeah, because they knocked ass. Out, like, this that whole kind of inner armpit of where 59 meets 610 already to try and expand that. But it's like never ending.
Yeah, I'm not down with all this traffic. And then I see, like, in our area, so up in the Spring Woodlands area, and, like, they're widening Rayford. And then they just put in a new road somewhere, like, because, you know, the place is growing, they're developing. And then when they build these new roads, they build them two lanes. And then 6 months later, they start a new project to widen it. I'm like, well, you dumbasses.
Build it right
Why didn't
the first
you just
time?
Build it, like, wide the first? I don't get that. I really don't get it. It's, you know, I'm sure there's some method behind the city planner madness, but it sucks. That's
Make
the
room
one
for
thing.
Rayford and Sawdust, not just Rayford.
That's a confusing ass thing. You know how that works, right? Rayford Sawdust?
In one direction, it's Rayford,
yes.
And in the other direction, it's Sawdust.
It's the stupidest thing. If you exit and take a left, that's Sawdust. If you take a right, it's Rayford. You know how long it took me to understand that?
That is dumb.
Because my wife would be like, it's on Sawdust. I'd be like, you mean Rayford Sawdust. She's like, it's two separate roads, you idiot. I'm like, is it?
Two separate names for one road.
I thought the road was called Rayford Sawdust.
I always
for a
did.
Very
yes,
long time.
I agree with
so.
That.
Also, I'm kind of dumb, so, you know, it's whatevs. Busy, busy weekend.
I was going to say, it starts with right as we get off the air Friday.
Yeah.
I'm listening on the way home, and I'm like, oh, these guys are making something up about some big story. There's no way we missed anything. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, Brian Gain is fired.
Yeah.
So that was a big one. I was like, where did that come from?
Definitely have to get to that.
Nobody saw that coming.
Nope. So definitely I was calling and talking to people all weekend trying to get to the bottom line. And the funny thing is, no one really knows.
Yeah. We got to get to that. We got to get to Yordan Alvarez, Big Poppy. I mean, you had game four.
Yeah.
That was big.
Yep.
Real quick, though, I just want to say we lost a good one in this community, man. Friend of mine, friend of AJ's, friend of a lot of folks, Chris Reed. I didn't realize what had happened. So I think it was Friday.
He and his wife were
afternoon. I don't know if we were on air or not.
I think it was right after we got off the air.
But he and his wife were in their boat off of the Texas City Dike, and a larger vessel came by and capsized the boat. Chris fell out, and they were unable to find him until a couple of days later. And unfortunately, he had passed. And I knew Chris back from when I was in MMA, when I had the cage door. When I first started the cage door, Chris and a guy named Scott had a promotion called IXFA, which was Chris used to be an MMA fighter, and then he retired and started IXFA, and he was the promoter and co-owner, and that's how I came to know Chris. And we just ended up becoming friends. And we didn't wait. I mean, we started off like he didn't like me and I didn't like him. That's the funny thing.
So we have something in common.
Yeah. I mean, this means we're going to be great one day, Joel. Yeah. But he and I became really good friends because we had a great working relationship. And he's just a good dude. Like, he's just a really, he was a genuinely good person. And I posted a little story. I put it on Twitter if you want to read it, but I've told the story before, but you guys remember me telling you a story about a local MMA fighter that stopped a crime in a Best Buy parking lot?
Yes.
That was Chris Reed. And the story goes that, and I fortunately found an interview I did with him where he told me the story back in 2012. It was for the Chronicle back when I was their MMA blogger. And, but I got to sit down and interview Chris and he told me the story and it's still my favorite Chris Reed story, and there are a lot of them because he did a lot of stuff, man. He was military, police officer, politician, mentor to kids, wrestling, MMA fighter. Like, it's just all these things that he did. Just an amazing dude. But this story was stood out to me because it was just so fascinating that he had gone to Best Buy to buy a dishwasher with his daughter, 16 years old at the time. And on the way out, he said he's walking to the car, and his daughter just yells, "Daddy, get him." And he's like, "What?" And he turns around and he sees a man punching a woman in the face, beating her. And so he just immediately, like, no one else is doing anything. So he just immediately runs at the guy. And the guy stands up. And Chris is a wrestler by nature. That's how he learned to, you know, his martial art was wrestling. So this guy's big. And he's like, "Well, I'm not going to stand and fight this guy. I'm going to just take him down and wrestle him." And so the guy sees Chris. And Chris is a big dude. Like, Chris was a big boy. You can see like, the picture, muscular. Yeah. Yeah. So this guy sees Chris running at him and gets up off the woman and takes off running away from Chris. Hurdles a bush. Chris runs through the bush, tackles the guy, goes knee on belly jiu-jitsu style and holds him there as a cop pulls up. Cop jumps out of the car with his taser. Chris stands up, puts his hands up. End of story. They catch the guy.
Wow.
And all because he decided to react. He said he went back to the car and he was looking for his daughter because she didn't check on him. And he's like, where were you? She was like, "Oh, I was helping the lady." He goes, "You weren't worried about me?" She's like, "No, I saw the way he punched, and I knew he didn't have any weight behind his punches, so I knew you had it, Daddy." He was like, "Definitely the daughter of a fighter." But that's, to me, that encapsulates what Chris was. You know, he was brave. Like, when I posted this story, there's this old saying that most of us are sheep, and some of us are sheepdogs. And it basically means that a lot of us are just part of the flock, and there's a few of us that are brave enough to protect everybody else. That's Chris. Chris was a sheepdog, man. And everything he did, he was a sheepdog. And, I mean, our community lost a genuinely good man. So rest in peace to Chris, man.
Well, you can tell because on the news, the outcrying of support and love that he got, obviously from the brotherhood of the police officers that have worked with him around him and knew him, but just from the community at large, from everybody, from the schools to just random folks.
He mentored kids. He was really big into wrestling. He was a coach. He was a wrestling coach. AJ told a great story on his Facebook, and this is so true because this is how Chris was. Like, Nick can tell you, TDLR used to be a mess. That used to just be awful. Well, Chris, having, you know, being politically savvy and being a part of the MMA community, he got fed up with it. So he just decided to join TDLR. And he basically, through his, abilities to play politics appropriately and talk to people and work with people and go to that, like, he fixed TDLR because he just got sick of it. And he became a referee. He became a judge. And a lot of why TDLR is better than they used to be is due in large part to Chris Reed. So I just, there's nothing that dude couldn't do and didn't do.
Wow.
Yeah, man. He's an amazing human being. We lost a good one.
And then we lost Bushwick Bill.
Yep.
And then there was that whole fiasco around it. Was he dead? Wasn't he? Which I don't think was... I thought that was crazy in itself, but his son was out as late as yesterday afternoon saying he hasn't passed. He's fighting, but everybody already had given the word, and then Yahoo and several other, including Rolling Stone, came out at, I guess, 9-something last night.
Yeah.
He passed. We met him at Prime Social a while back, and, you know, he's a great dude and seemed like he was fighting. That's a shame, too, because obviously he's legendary in this community.
Very much so. Yeah, we lost a couple of good ones this weekend, for sure.
And then we almost lost Big Poppy. So we got to get to that as well, because that was a crazy story that developed overnight. So there's that to get to as well. So we've got a ton of sports and other things to get to. And, of course, we always want to get to the suspects' calls and texts. 713-780-3776. Call or text that number, and you can reach us. And then, of course, on top of that, if you want to reach us on Twitter, you can do so at @BarryIsFunny. At Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer.
Hey, Nick. Real quick. So you guys know I got this new watch, right? My wife got
for me.
And it's supposed to be able to detect when you work out. Like if I just started running or lifting weights, it would be like, oh, you're lifting weights. Good job. Or, oh, you went for a jog. Way to go. I'm out mowing the yard last night on the riding mower, and it goes, oh, you're working out. Good job. I was like, hell yes, I am. This counts as a workout. I'm on a riding mower.
What does it count? The dews of beads of sweat on your forehead?
I have no idea why it was telling me I was working out, but I was like, "You're damn right, this is a workout."
That mower drives fast. Probably.
Driving this
especially
mower
when it's stuck in the mud.
Drinking this beer, this is a total workout right now. I told my wife about it. She goes, "Oh, your heart rate must have been up. Is that what excites you these days?" I was like, "I mean, a little bit.
It vibrates.
I mean, you know,
you're sitting down and it vibrates. It can't be all bad,
and it don't talk back." So.
There's that.
Hey, guys, speaking of getting stuff back like SaaS, how about getting cash back in your pocket? You can do that through the Get Upside app. I love this app, man. In fact, today I got to pump gas when I leave here, and this is exactly the routine I go through. Well, first of all, this is what you need to do. While I'm talking, I want you to go ahead and download Get Upside on your phone. Put it on your phone. It's completely free to download, completely free to use. There's like no catch to this. It's all just easy peasy. So download it. Put in my promo code Barry, BARRY. That's going to get you cash back, extra cash back on your first fill up. Because that's what I'm going to do today. When I leave here, I got to go get gas. I didn't have time to pump it on the way in. So what I do is I pull up the app, and I'm doing it right now just because I'm going to tell you what deal is around me. So I pull up the app, and I can see that there's an Exxon station right next to the station here that's offering 10 cents a gallon cash back. So if I put in, you know, 15 gallons of gas, that's $1.50. Now, look, that may not be a lot, but think about how much gas you put in your car. Think about if someone walked up to you and said, hey, here's a couple bucks while you're filling up. Are you going to tell them no thank you? Absolutely, you're going to put that money in your pocket. So download Get Upside right now and put in my promo code Barry. Your first fill up, I promise you, you're going to see bigger savings than what I'm going to get on this one, because my wife used my promo code. She got 30 cents a gallon cash back on her first fill up. It's absolutely amazing. There's no reason not to use this app. It just gives you cash back. That's all it does. You're going to love it. Listeners are sending me screenshots of how much money is in their account, and I'm ready to see yours. So go download Get Upside, put in my promo code Barry, get that cash back. Thank me later.
G-O-I-N-G. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What I would like to express to the Houston fan base and to the Texans organization is, in a collaborative effort with Coach O'Brien, what are the types of players and the type of team that we're going to build here at the Texans. And we will be intent on building a smart, tough, disciplined football team with players who love the game of football. We want competitors, team players, but equally we want good people and a good locker room.
We do a great job. Brian and his staff do a great job of incorporating the coaching staff after the season into the scouting process, and then we all come to a vision.
We have some breaking news right now, a shakeup at the top for the Houston Texans. They have let go of general manager Brian Gain. No word yet on why. In the interim, VP of football operations Chris Olsen will lead football operations.
And Texans CEO Cal McNair issued a statement saying, quote, while the timing may be unusual, this decision was made in the best interest of our organization in our quest to build a championship team for the city of Houston.
So that was Ron Trevino and KHOU at the end, but a nice piece Nick put together there on the fact that the news broke right as we got off the air on Friday. Brian Gain no longer, and I'm telling you guys, and I don't know how many people you spoke to, but I spoke to several people I know that are in the know and know a lot about what's going on with the Texans. Everyone had a different story. For the most part, this is bizarre, as no franchise gets rid of a general manager right before you start mandatory offseason workouts and then training camp coming up after that. Everyone pointing a finger at everybody else, but it seems like it all comes back to Bill O'Brien at the end of the day.
As soon as I heard it, I was like, all right, so just go ahead and make Bill O'Brien the GM and let's get it over with, because that's what this is about. I feel like that's all this is about.
You know, some people have said, well, Cal McNair feels like he should be more involved and Brian Gain wasn't keeping him in the loop. But I got to believe that's as simple as a conversation, walk down the hallway going, hey, man, when you go forward with these things, let's get a line of communication where I'm in the know on what's going on, because now I am the owner. And that would be fair. I don't think that's grounds for termination, especially when you look at what's going around with franchises in terms of track records. You don't want to owe this guy 3.5 years of salary.
Well, you do. A guy on Twitter who I respect with his knowledge and information, his Twitter handle is Pat DeStat. Mm-hmm. And he talked about this when it happened. And I found it kind of interesting because he said basically that this is just a move by Cal McNair to say, hey, I'm running things different. I'm not going to stand pat. If you don't perform, you're gone. Because, you know, Bob McNair was the kind of guy that, well, let's not rock the boat. Rick Smith was around way too long. And I think Cal McNair is trying to set an example and prove a point and let people know that I'm not going to be like my dad. Now, that's according to Pat's Twitter. And I don't have the exact quotes and I can find them. I just find that to be interesting, too, that this is how you make your move to posture. Is this what you're doing?
It's a bad look if that's the case. But then you talk to others, because I heard some of those similar rumblings and talked to people either very close to or formerly within the organization that said they are pleased with their first couple draft picks. They are pleased with the young offensive line that they drafted. There was nothing to do with any of those things. They were more displeased with the fact that the general manager was one pick away, literally, with an extra second round pick and other assets to use, from getting a guy that was, by most accounts, the best ready to go now tackle in the draft. And that was an issue. And the fact that Bill O'Brien was increasingly frustrated that they hadn't been able to bring in an impact free agent like he had wanted to. So more and more, to what really it tells you after all the things that you've heard, I've heard, and others have said on Twitter and otherwise, is it seems more and more like it was just a crazy house over there with everybody searching for who's in charge, where's the lines of communication, what's going on?
Yeah, I just feel like this is behind the scenes, you just always felt like, well, I think a lot of us thought that Brian Gain was Bill O'Brien's guy, that he had a big say in the pick. And if that's the case, then what the hell happened here? Yeah. So maybe we were wrong about that, and he didn't have a say in getting Brian Gain. And then you got to look at, is Bill O'Brien that coworker that just stabs everybody in the back and gets them fired because he thinks he's better than everybody else? Because, damn, if he's not the guy making, you know, the final say on the field and not calling timeouts and losing games and coming up with 9-7 records and 4-12 records, and he's surviving, and I'm going to start pointing out, like I did with the Rockets, you know, through all of this mediocrity, there's one guy that's been left standing. And just like with the Rockets, it was James Harden and Daryl Morey. Through all this, players have come and gone, GMs have come and gone, but it's still Bill O'Brien that's going 9-7 every year.
No doubt about it. And the thing is, the other thing that we all know, and Albert Breer did a really nice piece on SportsIllustrated.com this morning in the Monday Morning Quarterback, talking about this entire fiasco going on right now down on Kirby, and saying the other thing similar to what you were saying is, it's not just Bill O'Brien, but his constant focus on trying to be the Patriot way. Because now the Patriots, based on all the Robert Kraft situation, lost their quote-unquote culture coach in the offseason, Jack Easterby. The next thing you know, Jack Easterby is picking the Texans over several other franchises to come in and be their new executive vice president. Because Bill O'Brien wanted a guy that he knew for years in New England, and he was willing to give a title and overpay to a guy that supposedly was going to make a difference. And the coincidence continues in the fact that one of the guys that they are seriously considering to come in to replace Brian Gain, Nick Caserio, the Patriots VP of player personnel, friends with both guys. So both guys in that front office now, you know, are going to be pushing hard to get Nick as the three-way that they need to keep doing the Patriots way. I just, the Patriots way, I get it to some extent, but let's face it, it's a lot about the players.
It's a lot about the players. It's a lot about the coach. And also, it's a lot about luck and lightning in a bottle and, you know, specific situations. And, you know, the Patriots play in a division where there's a bunch of futility around Buffalo and New York and Miami. And the Texans play in a division where the teams have done fairly well, especially if you're facing Andrew Luck and, you know, the Jags defense for a while. And this division looked like it was going to be tough. And it's not awful, but I mean, it's not great, but it's not awful. It's not Buffalo, New York, and Miami. But also, you know, okay, to their credit, mimicking a successful franchise isn't new in sports. No. Every franchise in baseball is trying to do what the Astros did, period. Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to do the Astros way. And a lot of times the Astros, I mean, Alex Cora goes to Boston. You lose a lot of people in the front office from the Astros that were familiar with the analytics and what they did and the scouting and everything else. So that happens. But you also, they're not doing it identically, and they're not just, well, if we get the Astros guys, then we're going to be the Astros. And I feel like that's been the mentality of the Texans is, well, as long as they're around, then we'll just be the Patriots. Hey, newsflash, there's two things you're not getting from the Patriots, and that's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Yep. So you can be the Patriot way all you want, but until you get those two cats, you're not going to be the Patriots.
And then the other last thing, because I agree with you, the last thing on the docket about what could have gone wrong is Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
And the fact that Bill has never been happy with Jadeveon Clowney. But they, you know, they, depending on who you talk to, they had an offer on the table for him that Cal and Bill were in support of, but that Brian Gain did not feel comfortable doing, and that was another strike against him. So I don't know what's going on over there, but all I know is it makes the Rockets organization look a lot more stable. Because now you think about it and you go, just like everything else you just said, thank God we got the Astros and Jeff Luhnow and Jim Crane and some stability in one franchise out of three in a major market city like this. Because the other two, what the hell is going on?
You brought that up, and I know we got to get out of here, but it's funny because you just know that these other two franchises are looking at the Astros and going, damn it, they're the darlings in this town.
Yep.
No one flies the colors and makes shirts and all these things that everybody does for the Astros on a daily basis on Twitter and all. It's just, they're no longer, I mean, the Texans aren't the darlings. They're a mess.
Wait, there's no Daniel House shirt coming out with a logo?
No.
I can tell you right now how much it chaps Tad Brown's ass when anybody talks about any other franchise than the Rockets. And the only thing that they're talking about with the Rockets and now the Texans is,
it's a mess.
It is a complete disaster. Yep. So we continue to talk about that. Lots more to get to as well. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with the second half hour. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I'm a papa for the suckers. Ain't no use
to me lying. ESPN 97.5.
There's far too many of you die.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, second half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be on this Monday in the big city. It's supposed to be a cool front taking over. Not going to quite be as sticky for the next couple of days, although it still feels to be quite warm. I can let you know.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's not supposed to get over 90 for the next couple of days.
I was just talking about it not being sticky.
Well, that's you on the mower with the beer with the watch that's telling you that you're running marathons.
I don't think you... Nope.
No?
That's not where that happens.
The grapes?
That is not where that happens. Yeah, I'm going to try to run this week.
I'm starting back on it, too, yeah.
For sure. I got to. Did you watch Astros this weekend?
I did. Pleasantly surprised. Look, after Saturday's game, I'm sitting there going to Lisa, oh, God, we talked about this. The fact that they're playing the Orioles and they're supposed to wax them, and then they go and get a squeaker in their favor on Friday night. Then Saturday night they lose, and I'm going, if they split this series or they lose this series, I'm sorry, I'd be like, oh, my God, no. So thank God they pulled it out yesterday. And, of course, the story upon stories that everybody wants to talk about is Yordan Alvarez and his debut, and he hits a bomb.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
You're a little fired up about this.
I wasn't fired up about it.
You kind of were if you read your Twitter. About media people need to slow down and everybody with the t-shirts and the...
Yeah, well, here's the problem. And let me preface this by saying that I want this kid to be a star. I really do. I want this kid to succeed. I'm a fan of this team. I've always been an Astros fan back to J.R. Richards days. And I want this kid to be great. But let's allow him to be great. And I'm not suggesting you can't get excited. But there are now t-shirts and logos... there's like they did an Air Jordan, but it was Air Jordan.
Oh yeah, that's a big one right now. Yeah,
I've seen hashtags. I've seen media members losing their bleep over this. He had one game.
Highlighted how big a struggle it was for Alex Bregman when he first came to the big leagues.
Do you understand that this is this? Jack Mayfield got a nickname after one game.
How'd that work out?
Exactly. Like, let this dude have a couple of months in the bigs before we crown him the next Kyle Tucker. Oh, that's right. Everybody got excited about Tucker, and he didn't. Well, at least he won't be, you know, A.J. Oh, that's right.
The Tyler White gif I saw this weekend.
I mean, but let this dude become a star. Don't anoint him already. I get excited, but my goodness, there's hashtags for this kid. There's logos. There's like, dude, if he flops, it's just
you know what the telltale sign is.
And
too?
The thing is like, the dude has no place to play in the field. He's an awful defender, and we talked about that when people were clamoring for him to be called up. You already have a stud all star left fielder,
but he drew a walk as well as hit a home run.
Oh, great,
so he's already better than Tyler White.
I mean, in one game.
Yep.
In one game. Yep. And if he goes like Jack Mayfield was better than Tyler White.
I'm all in.
Jack Mayfield was better than Tyler White in one game. I'm not. Again,
right. So what does that tell you? Tyler White, you got it. There's a bat boy job somewhere.
I do agree that he'll be better than Tyler White. I totally think that. But let's let that happen.
And I hear you. I do.
But it's just, especially, not even necessarily fans, but the media guys. Oh, my God. Like, it was just all Sunday. It was like, guys.
Which ones?
And
I'm not going to call them out, but Blummer started
the Air Jordan, but that was already on Twitter hours before. I mean, everybody, the t-shirt was out there from a certain t-shirt company that was already taking a knockoff of the Jordan logo and putting it out there. So those things were out there, but I'm with you. The fact that, like I said, I mentioned the Bregman situation. Most every guy, Correa, Springer, when they first bring these guys up, you might find one or two pitchers don't know how to throw to you yet.
Yeah.
But over the course of time, they're going to catch up pretty quickly, and they're the ones that have been in the big leagues before, so their experience is going to show you're going to have to adjust. Look, he's got all the characteristics of a guy that's going to get it and get it quickly. And
if you look at his numbers, we talked about it. If you look at his numbers through AAA, when he first
are there. You can't teach 6'5", 200 and some odd pounds at 21 years old. I mean, he's got everything you want in a prototypical slugger in the big leagues.
Yep.
But let him get there. I totally hear
you. I found it interesting that Jay Kaplan had some articles where the rankings on him as a prospect vary so wide, and they're so big. He goes as high as the 23rd best prospect in the minor leagues, according to MLB.com. But other people are like, he could be just as well be Chris Carter as he could be, you know, Big Poppy. I mean, he could be a great designated hitter, but his fielding is so awful, they said, that that's what's holding him back from being a top-tier prospect, according to some people, is that he doesn't have a home. He's going to be out there butchering it in left field. He's going to be over there butchering it first base. I mean, the kid is basically a DH.
There's no doubt about it.
So he better be able to hit.
We mentioned this, and I think you brought up the Chris Carter analogy, and I mentioned some of the articles that said, look, the jury is still deliberating. It's out so far on him. Because for every guy that's out there as an expert saying he's the next can't-miss prospect, there is another one that's out there saying,
be careful.
He's a 50-50 crapshoot at this time.
Which is, and I'm okay with, like, I'm not rooting for this kid to fail. I am rooting for him to succeed. I would love to see him, along with the rest of these guys that are on this team, just win World Series for the next decade.
Let me give you what's going to make it harder for him.
Let that man earn it. Let him breathe a little bit
before we crown this
dude and put this undue... Because that was the problem with Bregman, I think. There was a lot of undue pressure on Alex
Springer,
Bregman.
Too. When Springer finally did get called up, man, the hype around him. And I was going to say, you want to make it tougher on this kid? Keep all this up.
Yeah. I swear, if there's a Jordan or Jordan or however the hell you pronounce it, corner, like Keuchel's corner next...
He has corrected it to Jordan as of yesterday.
Jordan. That's what I thought. That's what I've been saying, and it's all Jordan. Now, that's what... Air Jordan didn't make sense to me because it's Jordan. So everyone was like, you saw Air Jordan. That's not even the same... That's not even in the neighborhood. Like, it's not the same thing. Why... What are we doing? I saw a hashtag All-Star. That was the media. Yeah. Hashtag FOFO. I'm not going to say who did it, but I'm like, really, bro? We're already giving this kid hashtags after one game? Really? Really?
Now,
one game he earned a hashtag. His own hashtag. I mean, come on, man.
Let me just say this.
Come on. And people were like, oh, Barry, you're the old man. Get off my lawn. No, I'm saying let this dude breathe. Let him fail a little bit.
Aaron Judge is the exception. Aaron Judge is the guy that came up with all of this hype and lived up to it from the get-go, and it's a rarity. For every Aaron Judge or Aaron Judge-type story, there is a John Singleton. There are all these guys. John Singleton got a ridiculous deal that he gets the Astros get a pass from because of all the successes recently in their farm system and with young talent. But let's not forget, John Singleton, I believe, got a 10-year, $10 million deal when he was a prospect in the Astros system because they thought he was can't miss. You know what he couldn't miss? A chance to hit the hooch and get him some marijuana. And that has completely sent him spiraling down to where he is now a disappearing act.
I mean, Houston has a ton of stars. The Astros do, and that's there's time for this guy to develop. There's room for him to grow and become what people want him to be. But damn, man, and people are like, oh, well, Barry, the fans are just excited. I get it. Be excited,
sure,
but temper it a little bit. Like, don't put so much undue pressure on him that he's going to stumble out of the gates and struggle. Like, just let him do his thing.
AJ Hinch.
People were like, oh, but we've been waiting on him. Oh, BS. Do not give me that. I could go up to Astros Twitter 4 months ago and ask them who's the best prospect in the minor leagues hitting-wise, and you know what the answer wasn't going to be? Yordan Alvarez.
That's right. It was Kyle Tucker.
It was
going to
be Kyle Tucker. It was going to be Derek Fisher, Miles Straw. No one was naming Yordan Alvarez as the can't-miss prospect out in the minors, so save it.
But even A.J. Hinch said it yesterday. He goes, you know what's weird? He goes, because it's, again, how rare it is that people, he goes, I don't know how many people were in the building today. But I really believe that a lot of people changed their plans when they found out that we called him up and we played. But he said the thing that was on top of that is most of the people that did that expected him to hit a home run today. He goes, so that ramped up everything, and yet he did that.
Yeah,
but now, to your point, you can't expect that every night.
Oh, but they will.
He's not Roy Hobbs, and this isn't the natural part two, okay? He's not going to have the Wonder Boy bat, and until it breaks, he's going to go crazy.
I hope this kid becomes a star. He looks like he has all the tools to be a great DH.
Yeah, DH is right.
And it's really tough to be a star at DH if you, you know, don't hit for a lot of power and you can't. There's a lot of things to temper the excitement, but I hope he succeeds. I just want to say that. I really hope he succeeds. And I'm just more embarrassed for the media members that are just losing their absolute mind.
Here's the other thing. It's really a good, it's a great situation for them, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because most of these prospects that are can't miss, that are bonus babies, that are brought up and rushed to the major leagues, are forced to do so with teams that are struggling, and they're supposed to be the savior. In this lineup,
yeah,
if he can just be buried somewhere between, you know, at 5, 6, 7 or whatever, and hit around guys that are proven major league stars like the guys the Astros have, especially when they're healthy, he could flourish.
Dude, he's going to learn how to play baseball from Altuve, Correa, Springer, Bregman, Yuli, who is his countryman. Like, he's this kid at Brantley, like, this kid is so set up for success.
Perfect.
But he's got to earn. He's 21.
Yeah, and here's the other thing.
He is 21.
If you give him a little leeway, he could also learn how to play first base from Yuli. He could take some lessons in the field. He could take some time to develop. While he's still DHing and giving you something, he's learning from the best, and that can help him. But you're right. All the undue, extra hype, logos, T-shirts, every news story, every time he comes to an at-bat, I'm sure they'll break in out of a television show to show you his at-bats, for God's sake.
Somebody said, man, I saw people calling that homer a yordong. Host me thirsty for a phrase. Oh, I agree. Let that man be. See, this is what I don't want. A stupid-ass phrase. Your dong.
Well, you pick it. Hashtag or phrase, but it's...
Jeez.
Air your dad ain't going away anytime soon.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to go be a Rangers fan.
I just want his first quote in English to be, the roof is the ceiling. Thanks to Air Jordan.
It's crazy.
I will continue to roll on. Plenty more to get to. And, of course, if you want to interject, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text. Hit us on Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5. You're made of what you're made of. Flesh and bones won't lie. Just counsel. Here we go. Rolling through hour number one of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hopefully you all are having a great start to your work week on a Monday, as we are getting it started for you. Taking it till 4, Blitz takes you till 7. Number one sports station in the market, so keep it tuned right here for less of the hype and more of the substance, so to speak, with a hint.
Oh, I caught so much heat for coming out immediately and be like, y'all, everyone chill.
Yeah?
Everyone's like, you get off my lawn, guy. You're old man. No, I'm just not overreacting on this.
No, you're just not Vaseline in a warm towel.
Here's what's going to happen is he's going to become a great player and a star, and I'm going to have to deal with a bunch of dumbasses that don't know how to read words. They're going to be like, you said he would suck. No, I never said that. Never one time did I say that. I said, let that man become great.
Yeah.
And I hope he does.
There's a difference between...
Stop putting undue pressure on him is my whole point.
Right. There's a difference between that and wishing him a specific good morning and all Astros fans in bed as well to get up and realize there's an extra ray of sunshine.
You ain't right for that.
So you got that going for you. They did get another series win. They haven't lost a series since the Twins series in April. So they continue to roll on. Two much needed days off this week, today and Thursday. Tomorrow is a quick two-gamer against the Brewers here. And then they go into the weekend against Toronto. So
they'll sweep the Brewers. Easy outs.
You keep thinking that. I think that's going to be a pretty good series and it should be fun to watch two pretty good teams go at it.
Easy outs.
Speaking of that.
Are we going to wager something on this?
I'm not a diehard Brewers fan. I've told that I'm this. My favorite team is the Astros, without question. But I've followed the Brewers since I've been little. I can declare my own fandemonium without you getting involved.
Out.
It's the one thing besides two things: my wife and my family and my fandemonium. I don't need to have a discussion with you about.
No, you're not allowed. I won't allow you to claim the Astros over Brewers if you're from the Milwaukee area.
I'd like you to
area.
Think that that's possible, but it's not.
Oh, man.
But I will say this.
Sorry, but there's no room on our bandwagon.
I was there when they were losing a hundo. In Blummer terms, I was there when they were losing a hundo every year. So, but the Brewers, did you see? Yesterday they won. Yelich hit his 24th. But Moustakas, out in right field, kind of like at Toyota Center, you know, they have the truck in the one suite.
Uh-huh.
Out in right field in Milwaukee, they got an SUV. He hit the frickin' roof
nice.
Of the car. And so because of it, a fan got the car.
Really?
So they gave a car away yesterday because he hit a home run so far. It hit the roof of the car on the platform in right field.
Is that was that's the thing? That's why it was out there the whole time?
Yeah. So they they gave a car away because of that. But yeah, that was a neat story. Intertwined in a Brewers team that's in first place in the division with the Cubs. So
dude,
that'll be interesting.
Between Yelich and Moustakas, they got 44 home runs.
Yeah, I don't think anybody saw Moose going to those numbers.
No.
So
anyone that tells you they thought Moustakas would have 20 before the All-Star break is a liar.
If that team had, if they would have been the guy to get Kimbrel,
boy,
I'll tell you what, that would have been a difference maker because they already got Hader. They could have made the game. I know they struggle with all their starters and things like that. They've got so many live arms that could give you a couple, three, four, five innings. And then if you could turn it over to like the Astros with Presley and Osuna, if you could turn it over to Hader and Kimbrel, man, that's
that
would have
been nasty.
Yeah,
that would have been nasty for sure.
And then, of course, the breaking news that happened, I guess, overnight in the Dominican Republic, but just shocking news when I saw it come across the screen that Big Papi David Ortiz out at a club, they call it an amusement center in the Dominican Republic, was shot. Initially, the reports were he was shot in the leg. Some people were saying that it wasn't directed at him. But, boy, I saw the security footage. And let me say this, kind of like you with Yordan Alvarez. But let me make this point. All you people that are suddenly experts in crime, criminal investigations, and the art of shooting someone, it was not an execution. And it was not someone trying to kill him. Because if they wanted to, from where this guy shot him, instead of shooting him in the back, they would have shot him in the head. They would have shot him and made sure that he didn't live to tell about it. Thank God they didn't. But the fact of the matter is, this guy, for some ungodly reason, I believe he came in on a motorcycle, just walks right up. Poppy's taking pictures with people and sitting there at his table minding his own business. And this dude at close range shoots him in the back. It does hit some of his organs and exits out of his stomach.
Did they say his reason for doing it? I haven't seen
it. No one has been able to get I think they're all very relieved.
So it wasn't robbery?
They kept him alive, but that's the one thing they ruled out right away. It was not robbery. And if you watch what he did, he didn't even try and talk to Poppy or get money from him or anything. He just walks up, has a gun, shoots him in the back, and then tries to get away. And people beat the crap out of him.
They did. If you see, boy, you talk about he got himself an ass whooping.
His whole face, because this is what
I don't know how he survived that ass whooping.
I'm with you.
It was
like someone dumped a can of red paint over his head. Yeah. His whole entire face and head was just blood. But you know they want to keep him alive because they want to see if there's a motive or something that they're missing there to figure out what the hell he was doing. But I don't think people realize David Ortiz could be the leader of the entire country in the Dominican Republic.
He's very popular.
He is a god.
Yeah, he's very popular.
As big as he was in Boston or is in Boston, he's bigger there.
It's awful. And then I saw some dumbass, I don't know how she ended up on my timeline, but I saw some lady tweet out, "See, it's so dangerous. Don't go to the Dominican Republic. It's so dangerous."
A lot of people are getting on that bandwagon.
And I was like, yeah, like no one ever gets shot in America. Are you serious right now? Like, people get shot in this country all the time. It's no more dangerous to go there than here.
A lot of times they get shot by the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and somebody had a great point. I don't know who was on my timeline. They were like, yeah, wasn't Big Papi the main leader after an incident with the Boston Marathon? Like, trust me, it's just as dangerous to live here, or can be.
If you remember that quote.
Like, if you remember Papi's quote. Don't be so ignorant that you think that the Dominican Republic is just...
You remember that when he did that whole speech at Fenway?
And he cursed.
He dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah, loved
with
it.
No
loved
second
it.
Guessing.
I
was
no.
The, it was fantastic.
It was so Boston of him to do it that way, too.
And I've always been a fan of his just because his charisma.
I've heard he's a great human being.
And everybody
really
that you talk to will tell you that. So, look, thank God it wasn't an execution. Thank God he's going to be okay. Red Sox, well done. They got in touch with his people. He was out of surgery this morning and out of danger. The Red Sox are sending a plane to make sure that they get him back here for the best medical treatment possible to make sure, not to take anything away from surgeons over there, but they want to make sure everything's tip-top with him. That's a good move as well. So there's the Big Papi situation as it lies. They have the shooter in custody. but to this point, I have not seen anything on motive.
I would like to know what the hell is going on.
As we always say, you want to know now, but at some point, the truth will come out. Yeah. So 1 hour in the book, still 2 hours to go. Plenty more to get to on the show. Game 5 is tonight of the NBA Finals, and it looks like Kevin Durant, barring some unforeseen set of circumstances, which have happened before, should play. So we can talk about that in the second hour of the show and other things. And if you want to reach us, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line, call, text, hit us on Twitter. Hour number two around the corner, ESPN 97.5.